Excuse me. I'd like to remind all participants this conference is being recorded. If you have any objections, you may disconnect at this time. You may begin.
Thank you very much, Kelly. Good morning, good afternoon, good evening, everyone. This is the IOC call. It's the first one, and it is on the 14th of December. On the call, we have Jeff Newman, Thomas Rickert, Joy Lidicote, Alan Greenberg, and Brian Beckham has joined the call, but I see that he is not on our members list. For staff, we have Brian Peck, Margie Milam, and myself, Glenda Saint-Jury. May I ask you all please to say your name before you speak for transcription purposes. Thank you very much. And I also see that Lanry Adgazi is on the Adobe Connect.
Okay.
Thank you, Jeff. Over to you.
Thank you, Glenn. Everyone that's here, welcome. We have a kind of small turnout, but I still think we can get started. I sent around a document last night. I apologize for not sending it around sooner. But that document is not meant to be any kind of position on any of these issues. It's more to try to reflect the discussions that we had in the car and questions that have been posed. So some of these, they're topics I think we should talk about. And Stefan actually already responded with some of his thoughts. And one thing that's helpful is the way I'd like to kind of conduct the group is that, you know, even if we discuss something on the line now or during a call, I still want to leave open plenty of time to comment either on email or for you all to go back to your groups, collect additional comments, change your comments, whatever they are, so that you all can answer these questions and kind of reach consensus on these items. One of the items that's come up, and Brian's on the call now from the World Intellectual Property Organization, we have a list of members of the working group. And Glenn, just help correct me. Was that an open list? It's not just restricted to council members, or did we restrict it?
As far as I know, Jeff, it's not restricted to council members, but at the time it was council members that responded.
Okay. So from my perspective, and I want everyone to weigh in on this, I am fine having anyone, as long as we have the capacity, having anyone join these calls, either just, you know, in an active fashion or as an observer. I know that we've gotten questions from the International Olympic Committee or those that represent the Olympic Committee to be on these calls, to observe, and to be available to answer any questions that anyone might have. So I asked them actually to get off this call until we had this discussion. I wanted to make sure you all were comfortable with it. Does anyone have any thoughts? Would anyone object to us allowing them on the call?
This is Thomas speaking. Actually, I have no reservation. I think it's very helpful.
Okay.
It's Joy here.
Yeah.
Yep, I did forward information about the call to the NCSG list, in an open, transparent way. I have no problem in principle, but obviously this is an informal group of the DNSO, you know, which is designed to assist DNSO councillors in their decision making for the purposes of discussions with the GAC. So in terms of decision-making, I think procedurally, insofar as you might make decisions, and I'm not suggesting you would, then I think we just need to be careful to observe the protocol around, you know, councillors' responsibilities to council for the topic which we are discussing as councillors to assist those discussions.
Joy, that's a very good point. I think you're absolutely right. So I think what you're saying is as long as we understand that that kind of dichotomy, and as long as we I don't hear that you're objecting to this, right? I hear more that you're just...
Not objecting. I'm just asking that we be aware, you know, of the context in which we're having the discussions. It's an important discussion for us to have with the GAC, And it's important that, you know, we're free to get input from, you know, diverse people. And I have no issue in principle, but I'm just mindful that in terms of decision-making, should there be any, it's councillors who are using this process to assist their inputs into a discussion with GAC.
I think that's an excellent point, and I think I'll send out a note just clarifying that after the call and just making that point. And with that said, Glenn, I don't know if you have time. Do you want to shoot Philip an email telling him he could join if he wants?
Pardon, Jeff, do I want to?
Could you send an email to Philip saying that he and Jim could join, that we've had our discussion?
Yes, I'll do that.
Okay, great. Okay, with that said, I think one of the first questions, so I've submitted this document. Again, it's just kind of questions to help us with the discussion and give us things to talk about in some sort of orderly fashion. I think Joy just made me think of another item that we kind of need to talk about or at least think about is what is our ultimate deliverable? What do we view as our ultimate role? I think Joy was very clear and I think made a lot of sense that our ultimate role is to provide guidance to the council on this issue and in its communication with the GAC specifically on this issue. Does anyone want to add anything to that?
Jeff, it might just be helpful if you just, I know you sent that briefing note overnight, just to clarify the trajectory of those discussions at the GNSO Council for people who might be unfamiliar with sort of the horizon of time for this discussion and council deliberations on this topic.
Sure. So during the, I think it was in September, the Government Advisory Committee submitted a, actually I should go back even before that. In the meeting in Singapore at the end of June, when the ICANN Board of Directors approved the new GTLD programs going forward, they also temporarily, their initial decision was that during the initial round of new GTLDs coming out, the one that's supposed to start in January, that the words Olympic and Red Cross would be, and in certain languages, would be, all they said during that meeting and that resolution essentially would be reserved. And they didn't really go into further detail, although in the guidebook that came out in September, they further defined what they believe, the staff believe the board meant when it said reserved. But it left in place, and all it said was that the reservation only applied during that first round. And then subsequent, in the guidebook, there were some other provisions that more, at least in their mind, more clearly defined what they meant by reserving it. Subsequent to that, the guidebook coming out, the Government Advisory Committee submitted, I left one important item out. In that resolution in Singapore, there was also a note that said that the GAC and the GNSO could provide additional advice with respect to subsequent rounds or any other further protections that we all deemed were appropriate. So in essence, it basically kicked off some of the more challenging questions to both the GAC and the GNSO to discuss. The GAC subsequent, as I started to say, in September, submitted a letter to the GNSO with a proposal on how they believed the Olympic and Red Cross names should be handled, not only in this first round at the top level, but also in the first round at the second level and in subsequent rounds. After that, and that takes us to when we met in Dakar to discuss the issue. During the meeting in Dakar, the GNSO Council discussed this issue and had a session with the GAC in talking about some of the questions that we had as the GNSO And it turns out that while we were discussing that issue, the GAC was already producing a document, a question and answer document that we finally got towards the end of the Dakar meeting. And so now we have two documents. We have the initial proposal from the GAC. We have the question and answer from the GAC. And then we have some notes from our individual GNSO council session that we had, along with some questions that we had that came out of that. And I tried to reflect those questions in the document you see on Adobe right now, which was the note that I sent last night. So what I see as the trajectory is we have to kind of answer, at least in our own mind, the first question that I put on here, which is this policy or implementation? If it's implementation, then we need to act fairly quickly on some of these questions, because really the Government Advisory Committee would like to see this, or some of these, if not all of the recommendations, applied during this first round of new GTLDs. If it were a matter of policy, then the question is, do we have to do a formal PDP on this, and kind of some procedural questions that that would stem out of the fact of calling it policy and how we provide advice to the board. So with that said, what I think we should do is there are a number of items here that if we accept the GAC proposal or some variation of that, there are some items that will need to go into the registry agreements, the new GTLD registry agreements. If they go into the new GTLD registry agreements, that needs to be in place by the time the first new GTLD signs an agreement with ICANN, which, if you look at their schedule, could be as early as the third or fourth quarter of 2012. If we are not able to meet those timelines, then the only way to change those contracts is to go through either a PDP if it's policy, or if it's implementation and not technically policy, you would then have to go through the change process that's defined in the new GTLD registry agreement, which I believe is in Article 7. I don't have it in front of me, but I believe that's where you can find that. The long and the short of it is it's much easier, if it's implementation, to get this all finalized before the registry, anyone signs a registry agreement, than it would be after that fact. So with that said, I had to reboot my computer, so I don't know if there's anyone on Adobe that has their hand raised.
Alan does.
Okay, great. Alan, if you want to jump in.
Jeff, I don't disagree with you completely, but partially. Even if it is deemed to be policy or contractual terms, there's nothing to prohibit them from signing a contract saying the specific details will be refined. That's not part of a normal contract, but it's certainly something they could put in, you know, if we're not going to be able to meet the deadline of the first signing. There could be a placeholder there for it. So I don't think we really need to worry about how it's going to be handled, although I agree the target should be get this done prior to contract signing, if the timeline allows. Let me ask a question,
sure,
which I'm not sure of. In the history of the last 10 years, I presume the reserve name lists for second-level domains has changed. Is that
are you talking about between rounds, or are you talking about foreign?
I'm talking about in real life. Has the list that .com has been subject to over the last 11, 12 years changed over time?
I think .com is a harder example because .com didn't start out with any restrictions.
Okay.
The answer is, I think in one instance, and I'm trying to recall what those are, I think that .com has in their agreement that if any one or two character comes up and is deleted, right, because they had all those registered initially, if any one of those two characters are deleted, I think it needs to be placed on the reserve list. But let's go with an easier example. like .biz. So in that one, the agreement was in 2001, we signed the first agreement for .biz, and the same was for .info and .name.
Okay.
And there was a reserved name names list that was included in there. That reserved names list didn't just include names that ICANN wanted to reserve, but also included names that the registry wanted to reserve on its own.
Okay.
That list has changed in the terms of a registry could always petition ICANN to take a name off the reserved names list. And then it would be evaluated like through the registry, the RSEP process, the Registry Services Evaluation process. But to my knowledge, no new names were added to the list except when the contracts were renewed in 2006 when we had when they finally had decided the IDN protocol was going to be XN-dash-dash, and so all names with XN-dash-dash were then reserved.
Okay. What you're saying is we have an established standard that the content of the reserved names list is not a GNSO policy issue that the GNSO has to take action on because it's been done at contract negotiation time.
I would say that with the exception of the first names that are on the list and relating to the new GTLD process, I would agree with that. I would say that's fairly accurate. I mean, I'm not sure everybody else would agree with that.
I mean, the new GTLD process looked at reserved names, but it's not clear it was really policy. We were just, you know, tidying up house a lot with a lot of things. So,
I personally would agree with that. Again, I'm not the authority on that. So, but I'd like to get a feel from the group. So, what you're saying, Alan, is you believe, and I'm kind of on the same side as you are. That it's a matter of implementation as opposed to a strict matter of policy.
And specifically not a formal PDP.
At least at this point before a new TLD contract is signed, I think that's definitely the case, yes. Is anybody, and I'm trying to sign back on to Adobe.
Thomas has his hand up.
Yeah, this is Thomas Rickert speaking. Now, in terms of trying to determine whether we have been tasked with implementation or policy making, I think since the board resolution clearly stated that we're dealing with two marks, IOC and Red Cross, and its translations and variations, this is a very concrete and specific task, which makes me think or tend to believe that this is rather implementing the board's resolution. If we came to the conclusion that this is actually policy, I think then we would need to have a much broader discussion in terms of who qualifies for such treatment, which would make things much more difficult to deal with. And I, you know, looking at the Q&A that more or less says that, you know, what makes those names qualify for this special treatment because nobody else has asked for it. That was one of the explanations that was given. That wouldn't give me enough comfort to deal with it. So I think that there are good reasons to actually construe the task with being very specific and therefore implementation only, which would make our implementation actually easier rather than very general and abstract policy making.
Great. One of the things I was going to ask, and Margie, you're still on the phone?
Yes, I am. Sorry, I was on mute.
So Margie and that's okay. Margie and Brian, perhaps it might help the group to know some of the, and maybe not on this call, but if you could give us some more context, when the board referred the item out to the GNSO and the GAC, did they do so with the understanding that it was implementation, or did they believe it was policy?
I don't know the answer to that, but Brian and I will take it back and see if we can get any information from staff.
Tiff, it's Joy here.
Yes, Joy, please.
Thank you. I'm taking from the discussion that we don't have enough information on this call to answer the question. And I think so I think we've got some actions out of that in terms of getting more information that will assist us with sort of answering that question. And I think that it's important for us, regardless of the answer to the question, to just keep in mind that we've had a specific approach from the GAC on this issue, which via the GNSO Council we want to respond to, and so that we should keep in our sights, just how it is we want to engage with the GAC on it. And it may well be, for example, that we should be seeking some clarification and discussion with the GAC about their understanding of whether this is an issue of implementation or an issue of policy. But I wouldn't want that to necessarily be a barrier to us furthering our discussion today in the absence of the information to answer that question.
I think, Joy, that's right. And I think whatever happens, however we interact with the GAC, we're going to need to answer these questions for ourselves.
Yeah.
Because they did ask for advice from both of our groups. And whether the GAC wants to work directly with us or wants us to submit a response and then, take it kind of that approach where we would respond and they would respond to us and maybe at some point have a meeting. I think irrespective of how we do that, I think you're right, we do need to move on and answer these questions and maybe other questions on our own and figure out where we stand as a GNSO, and then we can kind of in parallel figure out how we work with the GAC on these issues.
Yeah. Yep.
Okay. Any other comments on this? And I'll just note that Stefan had submitted his answer or his thoughts on this, and he thought this was an implementation issue as well.
Jeff, what's your view on it?
I'm sorry, say that again?
What's your view on that?
I personally believe that up until the time that a contract is signed, it's implementation, and then after that point, for the first GTLD contract is signed, it may not be policy in the way that we think of policy as far as like a PDP, but I think it's something that has to, at the very least, go through the change process in the ICANN agreement.
Mm-hmm.
And I take Alan's point that you could always change the agreement now to say a process to be determined later. I don't think you're going to have too many happy registries that are going to be thrilled with that solution. And I think once the agreement is signed, the first agreement, you could have a launch of that TLD within a month. So even if you don't have to do it by the time the first contract is signed, you have to do it before they launch.
Yeah.
But if it's not a formal PDP issue, then we do have a fair amount of time. Not years, but we have a fair amount of time.
Well, the problem is if you say to the TLD, these names have to be reserved at the second level, but the TLD is already launched and has already given out some of those names, that's a problem. Right? So, and I think we need to separate this out, kind of as I did in this document. We need to separate out the top-level protection from the second level.
Yep.
Because I think the top-level one, that if we were to adopt GAC proposal or something similar, that would actually need to be in place by the time the first evaluation panel or by the time that the first evaluations start.
But the board did pass a resolution covering the first round for the top level domain.
Sort of. Yes, they did pass a resolution, but so here's let's jump into it at the top level. So at the top level, the board passed a resolution to reserve the Olympic mark and the Red Cross mark. And someone could correct me if I'm wrong. I think there were some languages that they had in there. I think maybe the six UN languages. But it was only a subset of foreign translations.
Mm-hmm.
The GAC came back and said, wait a minute, I'm sorry. And then so what the ICANN staff did is they literally stuck to that resolution and said, if no one can apply for those couple strings during the new TLD process as a top-level domain. But they treated those names differently than it treated other reserved names like test and example. For the words test and example, not only are those names reserved at the top level, but they also undergo a string similarity review. So if someone were to apply for example with EGGAMPLE, there would be a string similarity test done on that to make sure, or if the plural of that, if examples were applied, they would do a string similarity review on those two strings. Currently, as worded in the guidebook, and maybe Margie can jump in if I'm misstating this, in the guidebook right now, it only reserves Olympic, but wouldn't reserve or wouldn't do a string similarity test for Olympics with an X or Olympics with a CS at the end. It would only literally apply to those exact matches. So the GAC proposal is that we should extend the protection to all of the foreign languages that they provide in their appendix. We should also extend it to, it shouldn't just be in the first round, it should be in every round, and they should do a string similarity review like they do with test and example. So that's what the GAC is proposing, and I'm assuming they did so in consultation with the Olympic Committee and the Red Cross. So I'm assuming the Olympic Committee and the Red Cross would like those protections. I'm sure they would agree with those protections. So the questions I came up with, the first question we should discuss is, should this reservation just be for the first round, or should it apply for every subsequent round? And, you know, what is our recommendation?
Can I just ask a question, Jeff, about the reserve name?
Sure.
Policy.
Yes.
At the risk of having a slightly circular question back to our first question, I can see, because I can see the rationale for trying to tidy, if you like, to tidy up after the board's decision in terms of the desire to cover issues that haven't been covered. For example, the use of plurals and the use of the words in foreign languages. But what my question is in terms of the use of the reserved names list for this kind of tidying, I guess, is the underlying issue. Leaving aside the quite entirely the substantive discussion about the pros and cons of the marks at all, there seems to be a question there about the appropriateness of using the reserve names list sort of in this way. I'm just wondering if you have a comment on that.
Jeff, we don't hear you. You may be on mute.
Thank you. Actually, I was. Thank you. It's a good question, and it's one that I think was initially tackled by the original Reserve Names Working Group. And it was also addressed again when there was a recommendation by a group called the IRT, the Implementation Review Team, to have a globally protected marks list, which was sort of a reserved list for certain high-profile or well-known marks. I think it's an interesting question. I think right now we definitely have Olympic and Red Cross on that reserve names list. That's already been decided. I'm not sure it helps us to address the philosophy behind using the reserved list for that purpose. If I were to just put my own personal hat on without kind of not as a chair or leader of this discussion, to me it makes little sense to have a name on the reserved list but not also look out for things that are confusingly similar. it kind of defeats the purpose. Like, once you've already made the decision to put a mark on the reserve list, right or wrong, whether you agree or disagree, to me, it doesn't make sense to not do the string similarity review. Because I think you could easily have gaming. I think it's kind of, it's one of those, now one may argue, would someone spend $185,000 to game the system? That's a whole separate question. But if you're going to go three quarters of the way to protect the mark, you might as well go the full way like you do all the other marks that are that you have a string similarity review. Again, that's my total personal opinion.
So,
it's not a registry position necessarily, but it's how I feel.
But this is Thomas speaking. I think this is, at this stage, it's very important to bear in mind whether we're actually doing policy or implementation, because if more trademarks or more names would qualify for the special treatment, imagine if an unlimited number virtually of names would be eligible to similarity tests as well. You know, that would make the whole process very unpredictable.
Yeah.
Thomas, thanks. I think the good news here is that if you look at the GAC Q&A, and also as they discussed with us, they are really talking only about these two categories of names, the Olympic and Red Cross, and only the names that are attached as the exhibit to the original proposal. So it is.
Jeff, it's Alan. Could I get in the queue also?
Absolutely, please. Yes, Alan? Yeah, okay. Go.
I think Thomas still had something, no?
I just wanted to say that at this stage, I think it's important for us to determine whether we're going to continue our discussion in the light of being tasked with implementation or with policy, because I think, you know, the mindset is completely different. So my proposal would be to discuss in the light of being tasked with implementation and completely reconsider if we are advised otherwise.
Okay. I'll comment on that also.
Yeah, let me come back to that. Let me go with Alan and Joy. Was that you as well?
Yes,
okay, so let me go to Alan. Alan and
several points on Joy's original comment. Essentially, on is the reserve name list the right vehicle? I treat that as a religious, or you call it a philosophy, argument. it's quite clear at this point we are going to be reserving some of these names in some ways. I mean, the edict has been passed down, and it will happen. We need to do the details. At the very least, in the first round, on top-level domains, it will happen. So, you know, whether we're using the right vehicle or the wrong vehicle, the net effect will be the same. I very much think this is implementation. The mind boggles at the concept of a policy naming very specific organizations like the Red Cross and the International Olympics Committee. I find a problem with that. You know, just as we've had other issues, in the past, you know, with the post office and things like that, and different or the International Postal Union, you know, where the vehicle had to be somewhat different, that wasn't a policy issue. It's implementation. So I think we need to make a statement that we believe it is implementation. I think we need a companion statement with that that says this is in light of the fact that we're talking about the Red Cross and the IOC. If we're starting to talk about far more generalized things, you know, a.k.a. the globally protected marks list or some son of that, then it's a different game, and what we're talking about are not the rules that we would go for that. So I think we frame any decision recommendations we make in light of it is with these two. You know, we've been assured by people who know that these are the only organizations in the world that have such wide international support, and not agonize over it. My specific question regarding your original question on should we be looking at similarity and things like that, I don't know the answer to it. My question is, if we don't have such rules, does the GAC have grounds for objection to someone trying to get Olympics if Olympic is protected under the current rules today where we're not saying similar to? That's all I have, and I'm leaving with that question. Because if they have grounds for objection, or we believe they might, then we might as well put all the rules in and not have to use the expensive objection process.
I tell you, Alan, that's a very good point, and maybe I can ask Margie. Is that a question you could take back to Kurt?
Yeah, this is Margie. We can go ahead and do that.
Because I would think, even if the GAC doesn't have the objection, those organizations would certainly have the right to object based on their legal rights, because they have trademarks in those.
Yeah.
So those organizations can certainly object and probably would be very successful. Certainly if someone were to go with Olympics with an X and it was clear from their application they were going to be using it for whatever, sporting events or something similar, certainly the Olympic Committee would have the right to object and I would think succeed. So I kind of to answer your last question, if they have that right to object anyway, then, you know, putting it into, making it undergo a string similarity test is not a big deal because they would probably succeed anyway. The other thing I do want to note, and then I want to go back to Joy, is that these marks are the only marks that are reserved that do not undergo a string similarity review. Even .biz, .us, even any existing TLD undergoes a string similarity review, right? So these are the only two marks that ICANN staff put in there that are limited to exact matches that there's no string similarity review, which, again, to me is kind of confusing because if you're going to go three-quarters of the way by protecting those marks, it might as well go the full way and at least allow them the string similarity review because it is fairly limited.
Jeff, very quick question. It's Alan speaking. The string similarity review, isn't that done against all existing or applied for TLDs and the reserved names list?
It applies for all existing TLDs and the words test and example, but would not apply, as the guidebook is currently written, to...
Okay, it didn't say the reserve name list. It used test and example. Okay, got it.
Right. So, Joy, did you want to jump in?
I did, thank you. And my question earlier, just in response to a comment that was made, was not a religious one at all, or a philosophical one. In fact, with my own legal background, it was quite a specific, had quite a specific purpose for asking it, and that is that if the desired implementation tasks are to apply the reserve list, reserve name list policy simpliciter, in other words, to simply extend the board's decision making in an implementation sense. To the full breadth of the reserve names list, then that's leaving aside the pros and cons of that, is a relatively straightforward exercise. If, however, the concerns raised by the GAC and others are that there is some other or further aspect of the board's decision, and whether it be implementation or otherwise, that extends beyond the reserve names list, then that raises other questions. It's not a simpliciter case of the stretch of the reserve names list. I just wanted to respond to that point.
Okay, thanks, Joy. Anybody else before we kind of move on to? And again, we're not solving these. We're not answering these definitively now. We're certainly going to take comments online and kind of. On the next call, we'll just we'll go over these again, make sure we have agreement. I know there's a lot of people that are not on this call that probably have an interest in this, so would really like to get their input. But it sounds like to me that at least for now, the people on this call seem to view this as an implementation issue. And so in discussing these, we can kind of keep that hat on and it gives us the basis to move forward with some of the other questions.
Well, this is fun. I would say certainly some more than others are of that view, but I think we've also discussed that we don't have enough information, even in relation to the board's own thinking about whether this was an implementation issue or not. But I'm certainly happy to proceed with the discussion on the assumption that it is an implementation issue, and see where that takes us, and then to see where we are at the end of it in terms of the remaining question about policy. But I think others, some have clearly raised the question of doubt about whether it's one or the other.
Right, I think it's fair enough, and I think that's one of the questions we should all go back to our groups to get some more definitive. Now, we'll go back to our groups, and we've already asked Margie to go back to Kurt to see if she can get more insight from the staff as to what they believe the direction the board was giving them.
Right.
Jeff, it's Alan. Yes. Didn't the board at one point make a claim that they have not veered off from the original GNSO new GTLD policy, that all the changes have been deemed to be implementation?
I certainly think they've made that as a very general statement. Overall, yes.
In that case, their decision to allow in the first round Olympics and Red Cross to be reserved is by definition implementation.
Fair enough. I think we should make sure we're comfortable with that as well. Okay, so does everyone understand the questions that we have at the top level then? And do we think there's additional questions we should be asking ourselves than the few that I've laid out there, which is, should it be permanent? Should it extend beyond, like, should it receive consideration during string similarity as opposed to just those exact matches? And again, the third question is, should there be additional languages? The reason I say that is it's my understanding, and I have talked to representatives of the Olympic Committee on this issue, that when they submitted their initial proposal to the ICANN board, they had provided